guess, but I didn't see at all. So you guys can fill me in. Yeah, I didn't.
I feel that it's all too legitimate.
What do they mean the same? Like, the
like
same
they don't want
what?
Her to change. They don't want to change her design at all. Yeah. They want her to stay the same 13-year-old girl that looks like Ellen Page.
God damn it. Yeah. The things, like, he's a big burly man and she's a pretty young girl. Just throwing that out there, and it's like, it's a dad, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, exactly. did they say they were going to change her design or something?
No, I think the big fear is that in Uncharted 3, they ended up changing a lot of the faces.
Oh, right.
So maybe that's what they were thinking, but it's still super creepy because you're essentially saying, this little girl is perfect. Don't change her at all.
Yeah.
That's creepy, especially when you say it like that.
They're going to Kirby her up.
Yeah.
make her really angry for the American release.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Welcome to the Night of Your Beardcast, episode 66. Uh-oh. It's December 12th, 2011, and I'm Brian Belita, and I'm going to let these guys go around and introduce themselves, starting with our usual host, Wesley Gardner.
Hey, I'm Wesley Gardner. I'm the usual host. Brian Belita did it this time. But yeah, I don't know, man. That's a weird, like, beauty pageant sort of don't change this girl that looks like Ellen Page because hopefully she'll have period blood. Like,
speaking of girls that look like Ellen Page and didn't introduce themselves, look, it's Imran.
Hey, I hate PSN.
That's very cool.
I tried to get Resistance 3 started today because I only had a couple of hours to play before the podcast. I was like, you know, I should start playing this game. 700 meg patch.
Damn.
Yeah. And then the patch finished, and it was like, this game needs to install. So they showed me like a little History of Resistance movie, which is fun, because this is the first game I played. So I start watching it, about 4 to 5 minutes, and it goes to black, and it comes back and says, 12% finished installation.
Oh, no.
Jesus.
So I got a whole bunch of Mario 3D Land played today.
Yeah.
What nice.
But at least it was only one patch, because like, I can't remember what game it was, but I bought like a launch game. Like a few years in, and there were like 4 250 meg patches, and this was the time when PSN was just abysmally slow for no reason. Yeah, so it took me the best part of 2 days to download a gig, and it was like I can't remember what game it was, but it was
and then twice as long to install.
Yeah. If you start Little Big Planet now, you might as well just unplug the PS3.
Oh Jesus!
Like just
Christ.
Take it off the internet because there's no reason to download all those patches.
Your terabyte of patches.
There's that Pain game as well, which has about 3 gigs of patches now.
I love that game.
I feel bad for anyone downloading Team Fortress 2 now.
Oh my god.
That's got to be like, what, 13, 14 gigs?
Well, they haven't patched it. Like, they're still God knows how many versions behind, as far as I know. I mean, I know they're definitely... Oh, on PC, right, yes. But the way Steam handles it, it just all downloads at once. I mean,
right, you'll get the most current version of the game.
Yeah. Which, if you were a PlayStation Plus subscriber, you could have that too.
Functionality that should be there.
Functionality, yeah.
Yeah.
But you can probably guess from the British accent who our British guy is. You know who our British guy is. It's
Mark Bradshaw.
Yeah, I've moved from LaGuardia Terminal today, and I'm now I'm coming across clearer because we're using British microphones that work.
They can actually handle your accent and your rainy environment.
He's absolutely pissing it down, I have to say.
Yeah, does he honestly live in Blade Runner City? Like what?
Blade Runner City.
I live in Liverpool, which is kind of Blade Runnery in that it's full of local
Chats?
Crime. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Bike thieves, stuff like that.
People who pull knives on Imran on the train.
In fairness, that was from Liverpool to Ormskirk. So they might not have lived in Liverpool.
He could have been from any of the 8 stations between the two, then.
Oh, man. Yeah, that kind of, speaking of crime and people, this wouldn't work so well in Europe, but in America, as far as I'm concerned, I think the best anti-theft measure is driving a manual car.
Right.
What is this?
The clutch. What is this?
I rented a manual car in France, and none of us knew how to actually drive it.
Awesome.
So we tried for a couple of minutes, and we're like, we have to take this back. because we're going to kill somebody.
But we can't because we can't drive it back to the place. They, like, just airdrop you a car like in Just Cause 2.
Yes.
It's manual transmission. Enjoy. And they fly away.
Man, I was sorely disappointed. I was playing some Just Cause 2. Saints Row 3 with David Coulter from Thick Mustache. And in the airport, there's this helicopter that's like one of those ones that kind of has a, you know, inverted U on its bottom and some hooks hanging from it. It's supposed to be for like transporting giant cargo and picking stuff up. And you can't use it like that. You can't pick cars up. It's just, I'm just kind of like, why did you have it? And so
DLC.
Dear developers at the Apple. God, no, I hope not.
I like how like there's a season pass for that game, but there's already a bunch of DLC that's not under that season pass.
Wait, it's not under it?
No.
No, there's like, I don't think the shark gun is. I don't think the last two packs that came out are.
That's kind of silly, because I was looking at that, and the DLC that's out right now, like the shark packs and stuff, is like, what, $3, $2.99 or something?
Mm-hmm.
And the season pass is $20. And already, I don't know if they'd released, I guess, enough DLC at that level to reach that $20 level, so I don't know what's up with that. But they might be planning bigger releases or something like that, so I guess we'll see. But yeah, I just beat that the other day, I think last night or maybe Sunday night, and that was kind of awesome.
Yeah,
you already beat it, right, Imran?
Mm-hmm. I chose the good path.
You saved the ladies?
Yes,
me too. That was pretty awesome. See, there was kind of
getting from Saints Row is the good path is actually be slightly less of a dick path. Is that accurate?
Well, it's more like you save the city.
Right.
And in the bad path, you take it over.
Yeah. But that's weird, because the whole game, you're kind of taking it over anyway, right?
Yeah.
You're not really good or bad. I mean, even the good path, you know, you already kind of blew some shit up. And I mean, it's technically you're good because you're taking out these guys that are more bad.
I just like to think that the main character is Gary Busey, because the moment that whenever I turn the game on, it's like, we need some guns, let's go steal from the military fort, I just started laughing. I was like, yeah, this is something Gary Busey would do. He would just say, who has guns? The military.
I would select a Gary Busey voice option for main character.
Well, you can get it for your TomTom, I guess, the GPS system. Right, like in real life, you can get the like turn left, butthorn. And you'll, like, say random stuff.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, I don't know. So there was kind of a lull in the middle of that game that I kind of, I don't know, maybe I was playing other things. But then it started picking up and getting super rad again.
Yeah, there's about 15 missions that are just side missions that the characters are telling you, oh, go do that or defend me in a helicopter for 15 minutes.
Right.
I'm like, no, that I've already done that 5 times.
Yeah. And I'm kind of mad at the, like they have the extra missions from the Saints book where, you know, for the assassinations and the steal a car or whatever. And the steal a car ones are kind of infuriating because the second you get that car, all of the policemans come at you. They just have a sixth sense that you stole this car.
Did you make the decision to ally yourself with the, I'm not going to ruin it too much, but the cameo character?
Yes, I did.
If you call him during those missions, it'll just call off all the cops.
Oh, that's right. You can use them to wipe your notoriety or whatever. Huh. I may try that out then. Because now that I've beat it, I'm going to go around and kind of do a bunch of these side missions and basically just dick around and get some footage, too, that hopefully will be going up at some point in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's about it. So I've been playing that. And then, and then I started a Bulletstorm because my brother, my rad brother, gifted me it. And I hadn't played it yet, so just like Imran said, old news bleeder here, playing games 11 months late.
But it's still a game that came out this year, correct?
Yep, January.
Yeah, see?
Ah,
so you're not quite old news bleeder.
You are geologically current.
Yeah, exactly. In the grand scope of space and time, you're fairly accurate in your playing.
I'm okay with that. This is how I operate. but other than that, what about you guys? Have you been playing anything new?
I've been playing a lot of Mario Kart. A lot of Mario Kart on the 3DS. And I didn't think I'd play all that much of it, because I actually I beat Super Mario 3D Land, and then I was like, yeah, this is a great game, but I want to try some Mario Kart, because I haven't owned a Mario Kart since, I don't know, because I didn't own the GameCube one, so probably the 64, and I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving it. It's like a best of all the Mario Karts. But they put the blue shell in, and it ruined it. I hate that shit. I don't even know what the fuck.
At least you can avoid it now. You've been able to avoid it for the last two games.
Wait, how can you avoid it? I don't know how to do this.
If you have a mushroom, then right when it starts to hover above you, mm-hmm. if you hit the mushroom, then you can avoid it.
Oh, because see, like 3 days ago, I learned how to do the start of the race boost. So I'm literally as new as they come to Mario Kart.
Yeah. Have you joined the community yet?
Yeah, I went on there once, and then it was like, zero players! And I was like, oh.
Yeah, I enjoyed the, I played the DS Mario Kart, whichever one it's called, I don't remember.
Yeah, just Mario Kart.
It was Mario Kart.
Okay, DS, yeah. And I love that, I played the hell out of the single-player stuff. I loved it up until I started trying multiplayer.
Yeah, because it was full of snakers. Because it was full of people that could finish the race before it started, because they could snake.
Basically.
And you're kind of like pootling around with a blue shell.
One of the guys I work with says he gets into these matches to where he does really well, and it's like, you finished first! And then as soon as it says first, it goes, fifth. And you're like, well, wait, what? How did I finish fifth? And then, yeah, apparently there's some, I'm not going to say hackers. Hackers are ruining Mario Kart, man. But there's something going on. Either network lag.
Exploiters.
Yeah, just something going down.
Speaking of something going down, I think our audio quality...
Our Belita quality has also gone down.
Our Belita quality, we're going to hang up and start this call again, and Wes will probably just edit this part out.
Yeah.
It's still muffly for me, I think.
Yeah.
I'm hearing you fine.
Oh, wait, no, okay, it's good now.
Yeah, it's trying to find... I don't know, ever since the newest Skype update, they do this weird procedural bandwidth...
Right.
And they're like, who has the worst connection? And let's base the entire call on them. And then, let's amp it up during the call. And it makes it a nightmare for editing because all the voice samples go from a certain bit rate to, like, a higher bit rate.
Oh, God.
So whenever you save it out, it goes down, diminishes based on math.
I still think it's just amazing that Skype doesn't have, like, a built-in, really nicely functional recording feature.
Yeah, or, like, a modulator, at least.
Anyways,
It's better than putting the microphone next to the speaker, at least.
Oh, yes, that's true. Like all those videos you see of people who just have a camera pointed at like a TV or their computer monitor.
Oh God, and it's always slightly off center to what they're showing as well.
Right, it's like at a bad angle or something.
Look at this, and it's like you can see like the top corner of the television and the awful anime wall scrolls that they have, and that's all you can see.
Or it has
other scan lines or anything like that.
Yeah, they have the terrible camera that doesn't have the same megahertz frequency, so you see that rippling line go up and down on the screen.
Yep.
And you're like,
the worst was when everybody still had CRTs, because you just see it flashing. I was like, look at this! No, you don't understand. All it is flashing.
It's a rave, like you're having. Yeah. Oh, man. All right. That was some technical difficulties. Sorry about that, guys. But we're back. We're talking about some Mario Kart. Mario Kart's fun. It is a lot of fun. I need to hop on online. But
I need to play some more, but I kind of got distracted by Mario 3D Land.
They're both really good, man. Both of those games.
That game is like the difficulty curve. It is a flat, straight line for about five worlds. Mm-hmm. Then right after that, it goes up like a vertical mile.
Yes, it gets to the special levels in Super Mario Galaxy. Like, it gets that difficult for me, where I don't know, it's like I wasn't training to do what the game was expecting me to do. But I can say that the Super Mario 3D Land, they actually used the 3D in ways that made me, like, set the thing down and be like, oh, well, no one can top this. You know what I mean? Because think about, you remember when Echo Chrome came out?
Yeah.
And that whole idea of, well, the levels, like, it's M.C. Escher-esque construction, but whenever you turn the 3D on, you almost see the answer to the puzzle. It's just really cool. Like, and there's really no way to spoil it. I mean, you can't be like, oh, there's this one where the platform's in front of this tree, and then the tree shifts, and people are like, spoilers, spoilers! But you can't really spoil it until you see it with your own eyes and go, oh, that's brilliant. That is genius.
What's weird is how well it works without 3D, too. Like, it's the exact same game. You can still play it exactly the same way in 2D.
I agree.
But if you have 3D on, you're getting an immediate feedback into what plane everything's on.
Right. And this is what I was hoping whenever they announced the 3DS. Like, okay, are there going to be games that are amplified by using the feature? And this is the perfect example of it. And even the 3D in Mario Kart's pretty good. Like, it's not used for a whole lot.
Except for, like, you know, when you're flying and coins are coming right at you.
Yeah, and, like, the shortcuts are behind this bush. Look over here. But yeah, man.
I'm shocked I still remember all those classic shortcuts. Like, for games I haven't played in 15 years.
Yeah, man, because
I still remember Koopa Beach's shortcut like that.
Are there any tracks from the N64 version on
there? Yep. At least two.
Now, you need to say no, because it's Mario Kart is the one thing that might get me to buy a 3DS.
Dude, I'm going to tell you, man, just getting that game alone is worth it, especially if you have people that you can play with online and you have our whole community. So, I mean, it's worth it, man. I mean, and I don't say that lightly. I'm not like, well, this can sell systems. But between Mario Kart and Super Mario 3D Land, those are the two reasons to own the system. Like, Ocarina is a nice bonus. Star Fox is a nice bonus. It's just, like, padding. But... And I know I said before that Zelda was the reason to get it, but now these are literally the reason to get it, because these are made from the ground up for the system.
So, apparently Shinobi's pretty decent. Like, I've been thinking about it, but it looks so ugly.
It's weird, because it's one of those games that's ugly in 2D, and you turn the 3D on, and then all the pixelation goes away. Like, I don't know how the 3D works, if it just multiplies the screen by 4 or something, and then, like, puts a perception of depth in there.
Wait, this thing has 4 screens?
9 screens with 12 styluses.
Technically, it
just keeps folding out.
2 screens that become 3?
Yeah, I think so, because if you hold a 3DS, and even if you go to, like, a GameStop, if you don't own one and you go to a display at, like, a Best Buy or GameStop or Fry's or wherever you're at, if you look at it, turn on the 3D and be centered up and be like, oh, that looks cool. But then move your head in like a circular angle around the screen, and you'll see it becomes 3D 3 times. Like, it does it straight on, then it does it at about a 45.
So it becomes 9D.
Yes, about a 45 degree angle. And
wait, are we talking about dice now?
Mm-hmm.
God.
And every side of the die has a stylus.
Oh my god, it has that number.
But it's also like moving the in-game camera, so games can judge what to do with that 3D.
Right, it's really advanced. Like, it impresses me more and more the more I see it used.
Oh fuck, Wes, buy Pushmo.
Pushmo?
Yeah, I've been hearing all about this Pushmo game.
What is a Pushmo?
It's a puzzle game by the people who made Paper Mario. And it's like...
Is there any relation to Chuggo?
No.
The amazing hip-hop artist?
Yes, Chuggo, the amazing hip-hop artist.
Basically, you have a bunch of blocks, and you can push and pull them in out 3 spaces or in 3 spaces, and you use this to platform up to the top block.
Ooh.
It sounds so stupidly simple, and it takes about 25 puzzles to get going.
It sounds a bit like Catherine from that. Is it kind of like that?
It's very much like Catherine.
Yeah.
Except you can jump.
Wow. Is it download, or is it a box?
It's download.
It's 7 bucks. That's not bad.
Speaking of jumping, a quick tangent. So that reminds me, it's terrible that like anytime I'm looking at a game, especially if it's like a first-person shooter or something like that, and I'm looking through customizing my controls, and I see space bound to something else, and then I look down and I just don't see the option to bind space to a jump key. And I'm talking about Bulletstorm and there not being a jump button, which weird. I don't know. It just weirds me out. I like being able to jump.
Okay, I do have a question for you, I don't know what point that is, but
tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, but I do have this question for you, and I was thinking about this the other day. Someone brought it up, and it kind of made sense to me. Do you think that Bulletstorm is the game that Duke Nukem Forever should have been?
Yes. It even has a Duke boot.
Yeah, it is. It's the naughtiest game that's ever.
I mean,
been.
So far, and I haven't even played that much yet, but seemingly yes.
Because Duke Nukem 3D just comes across as that. Yeah, but Duke Nukem Forever just comes across as that seedy old man in the club.
Yeah, he's that college guy that goes to high school parties.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's...
I was in this frat.
You should have seen it back in the 60s, man.
Right, you should see me back in the day.
I can't remember, I think it was the Giant Bomb video when he was kind of like slapping the alien boobs.
Oh, God,
and he was going, whoa, whoa, and it was like so creepy. It was just awful.
But this is the same industry where that new Last of Us game they're talking about.
Well, yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you never know.
I'm interested in that game. I'll state that now.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
They said, like, this is the people that worked on Uncharted 2. They didn't have time to work on Uncharted 3, which, A, I would have really liked to know before Uncharted 3 came out.
Yes, exactly.
B, that makes me pretty excited for this game.
Yeah, well, I was really surprised how many kind of turns against what they might normally do. There were stuff from developers, like there was Last of Us from the Naughty Dog guys, which is a nice change of things, and then also this Fortnite game from Epic.
Yeah, which is apparently like Minecraft tower defense.
I haven't heard the tower defense thing.
Yeah,
well, that's just what I'm gleaming from the trailer. I don't think anyone has like actual information yet, but it looks like you have to kind of hide up at night from monsters.
Yeah, I'm going to go and assume it's going to be a bit like Killing Floor, you know, when you have to make the barricades and the zombies rush through. It's going to play quite traditionally.
Yeah, a little more elaborate than that.
Well, I think you have to build the fortresses from ground up.
I think I saw a little thing where they said it's much less freeform than Minecraft, obviously. I mean, in Minecraft, you can create anything you fucking want. Mm-hmm. And apparently this, you know, you can patch stuff, but you still have some control over it. But, it just looks to take that kind of one idea from Minecraft and that, okay, at night things come out, you want to build a shelter, and kind of just basically take that specific one and expand upon it, which is nice because it's stuff about, like, boss fights and whatnot. So, yeah, I'm kind of excited for it. It looks neat.
I saw people already saying, oh, I hope this game isn't full price, based on the graphics.
People are so goddamn spoiled. It's
this
ridiculous.
Is why Rayman's only sold, like, 40,000 copies.
I mean, I would have gladly spent, I mean, if I had known, I would have gladly spent $50 on Minecraft, and, and I wish I'm trying to think if there are any games that I wish I hadn't spent as much as I did on.
Dragon Age Origins.
Yeah. No, I did not buy that. The wrap up, which I have a full price. Same. What
what just happened?
You like cut a tune for a moment.
Yeah, that was amazing.
I'm
You're still doing it. Oh, T-Pain featuring Brian Bolito. T-Pain.
Yeah.
Oh, is something throttling your connection, Brian? Or
he's got some mad auto-tune.
I don't know. Let me look at my technical difficulties, Blake, but I don't think so.
Torrenting any bitch?
I'm not torrenting anything, no. I don't know if, like, anything open. I mean, nothing's changed. Speed test! Possibly. Oh, God. What the shit? Alright, Comcast must be doing this. Because I don't even know if you guys can hear me right now.
Right,
we can hear you.
Yeah.
Just kind of
my download speed right now is 3 megs a second.
Oh, can you sing California Love by Dr. Dre? while she's got all her tune on.
California in the city, we like to work it. I'm Tupac's core.
I was going to cut this out, but now I'm keeping it just for that payoff.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, well, I'm going to reboot my router, so I'll be back.
We'll continue on.
You guys should continue.
We'll keep this going. We'll kind of bring up the VGAs and get into that.
All right.
I'll, like this stuff.
I'll be back soon as I can.
Brian Belita, to take him one for the team for us. But Fortnite does look interesting, and I think that the thing that really plays off of it well is the fact that it still can use Epic's mechanics, like what they're good at, because these are the people behind Unreal and Unreal Tournament and Gears of War. So they're not really straying too far from what they're comfortable with as far as execution, but it's...
I'd be incredibly surprised if there wasn't shooting of some sort in this game.
Exactly. Like, they're going to be using something that they're comfortable with, but in context, it's something they've never done before, which is pretty exciting. I mean, I can't really blame them for sticking to what they're good at and what makes them money. But it is nicer than just getting a third identical Assassin's Creed game within 3 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I liked as well with, like, The Last of Us, how they're kind of wearing their Walking Dead inspiration on the sleeve.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, yeah, it's kind of fast. The zombies are a bit different, but the kind of the whole text presentation of The Last of Us, it's very Walking Dead, especially the series.
Now, I'm trying to figure out the tone, because, of course, we know that the trailers aren't necessarily misleading. Well, I mean, sometimes it can be, like with Dead Island, but they're not. They kind of give you a proof of concept more than anything nowadays.
Yeah,
but I'm wondering what the tone's going to be, because the game, of course, looks brilliant. It looks beautiful, but is it going to be Uncharted with zombies? I mean, that's
appear to be a whole lot of gun shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, especially because when she picked up the empty ammo and how happy she was that she found two full bullets, I think that kind of clued us in a lot. It's going to be a lot more kind of... I think it's going to be a lot more like The Road than, say, Resident Evil, where kind of finding bullets and finding two bullets suddenly raises your chance of survival by 100%.
Yeah, exponentially. And maybe even like Silent Hill, in a way.
Yeah. I kind of hope it's kind of a bit open, a bit like Stalkery. Mm-hmm. Not kind of as bug-filled and as sad as the Stalker tale has just got, but kind of more open world, more kind of not as objective-based as modern shooters are.
Right.
More quest-based, if that makes sense.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. And sadly, while we're on that topic,
Stalker 2 dying.
Yeah.
Stalker 2.
And that whole studio, apparently. Isn't the studio just done?
Yeah, that was weird apparently. That, like, there was a whole bunch of stuff at the moment. They're like, people were tweeting, or people from the company were tweeting, we've lost our jobs. The community manager was saying, no, we're still working on the game. It's not a big deal. Then, like, the community president said, no, we're done. We're dead.
We're gone, yeah.
Of course. And that shows how the place is run if the community manager is the last to know anything.
Well, the conspiracy theory is that the government, this is Ukraine, right?
The Ukrainian
government took over the company and installed their own community manager pretty much immediately.
Why would they take
over? So he was the one who was, he was basically Baghdad bombing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have taken 6 tanks and 4 shovels.
Yeah, it's like, what are they taking it for? Like, what happened?
Yeah. Well, Stalker in Eastern Europe is huge. There's like clothing lines, there's books, there was a potential TV series. I mean, it's a lot bigger. Hello.
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
I'm back.
Welcome to the Planetarium Cast with Brian Belita, where we learn about the solar system.
Yeah. I'm Brian DeGrassi Tyson, Belita.
Oh, but we were talking about Stalker and how that company is no longer a company.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah.
Do we know why? I mean, what was the kind of catalyst for it?
Apparently, I don't know. Really.
Apparently the government took them over.
Okay.
These are three hugely profitable games with a hugely profitable franchise. I mean, hugely profitable by like Eastern European standards. but by those standards, these are hugely profitable.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop saying that word because I can't say it. Hugely successful games and a hugely successful franchise. And there was,
right, I mean, they had.
There's no really reason that it could just collapse.
Yeah,
it was very.
Who was publishing Stalker 2? Was it THQ, or were they self-publishing?
I think they were self-publishing now, just straight.
Okay, if it were THQ, I would have understood why, but if it's not them, they kind of went out of business this week too. Like they're still in business, but their stock collapsed.
Didn't somebody make a list of video game developers that have gone out of business this year?
This
generation. Yeah.
Yeah.
That just gave me an idea for the VGAs. You know the, like...
People have lost this year.
Yeah, the obituary thing. They should do that for video game companies. In the poorest taste.
They can have In the Arms of an Angel by Sarah McLachlan playing in the background. Or just pans by all these sad developers.
Yeah.
Someone needs to make that video.
You know who increasingly looked like he was unhappy to be there? Miyamoto. Like, every time they looked at him, he had to just, like... frown on his face, like, oh god, why am I here?
Right, just, I don't
understand. Has he ever been at the VGAs before?
No, I think he was just in the country at the time for unrelated reasons, and they were like, okay, might as well go for this, good PR, you know?
Yeah,
I don't know, I just feel like the VGAs is such, like, a fuck yeah, America, just Spike TV, Charlie Sheen.
I wonder what his reaction was when, like, Deadmau5 was like, I'm gonna get your name tattooed on my arm. I mean, how do you react to that type of thing?
That's actually pretty rad. I would do that as well. To be completely honest with you, if I got his signature, I would do the same thing. Just give that.
Deadmau5, like, there was a thing where Sony sponsored his performance at VGAs.
Right.
And then they gave him a free Vita for it.
Yes.
And he left it in a cab.
Or he says he did.
Yeah.
He says he did. He left it. He says he left it in a cab. He tweeted about this. Then a little bit later, he's like, "No, no, I just made that up. That didn't happen." Which I think what happened probably did leave it there. But Sony's like, "Hey, could you not tell people that you just left? Didn't care enough about our product to leave it somewhere?"
Right.
It's either that, or he just didn't give a fuck. Like, he was just like, "You know what? I got this saying. Guess what? I may have left it somewhere. Guess what? I didn't. It's mine." Like, that's probably what
New York.
Yeah.
Or California, wherever it was.
Scavenger hunt.
Just my bad. And then didn't somebody say, somebody I think made a response saying, you know, "So I got into this cab earlier today and I saw this Game Gear lying on the seat, so I just left it there."
It had this weird crappy touchscreen on the back of it. I didn't know what it was.
I didn't know the Game Gear had a touchscreen. What is this, an Atari Lynx?
The GameCom did.
Fucking Walkman? What is this?
Sony. The Atari Lynx. The Atari Lynx was great because you could play it upside down.
Yeah, it was like amazing. You could have two people playing because they had buttons on either end.
And also because it was 7 foot long.
It was the shmup mode.
Shmup mode. Yeah, it also took like 6 double D batteries.
It took 4 car batteries.
You had to wear a backpack to play it.
Valve may have started a new alternate reality game at the VGAs.
Right, with Wheatley.
Yeah, there was a couple of things he said that were kind of nonsensey. Like, he'd just say 1-1-1, and that doesn't map up to any coordinates. And that was about 14 seconds after the video that have, like, if you put them into our film editor, you can see the sound peaks on them, but you can't actually hear any noise.
Right, yeah.
Which is kind of Valve style to play with stuff like that.
Right, I love Valve, and the fact that there are people that know that, okay, we gotta fucking open up this image in a spectrographometer, reverse engineer, then enhance the image, invert it.
Go to the university, get the Sanskrit expert, bring him over here.
And then play it through a old-time gramophone in order to reveal the message.
And the message is like, "Hi."
Right.
Yeah. Spike TV sucks.
Well done.
But he does claim at E3 he's announcing something with the number 3 in it.
It's Left 4 Dead.
Regardless if it's Half-Life 3 or not, that would be a big deal because Valve has yet to make anything with the number 3 in it.
That's true. Right. Yeah. I mean, they have the option of Half-Life 3, of Episode 3, of Portal 3, or of Left 4 Dead 3. So
I'm hoping they just skip Dota 2 and go to Dota
3. Team Fortress.
Dota 3, that would be amazing.
I don't think they do Team Fortress 3 yet. That'd be a ballsy move, though. If they did, like, guess what? Here's this next game that's not microtransactions, and people will be like, "Oh, what?"
Yeah, well, especially since Team Fortress 2 is still powering ahead with such great steam.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see what you did there, Anita.
Land that, man.
Yeah, well, it is full of horrific pony servers.
Oh, man, yeah, David and I, we like to join up again. I was like, "All right, Desser, you know, David, are you ready to do this?" And he's like, "Yes, all right, let's do this." And we hop on, and we just load up the full server list, and we look for, like, the most embarrassing server to join. So we joined a brony server, for those of you who are blissfully unaware. A brony is a dude that likes the My Little Pony series.
Yeah. And we'd found a different one before, but it was just trolls kind of trolling trolls. Right, it was a very Tyler funny place.
Yeah, there was this guy that at the end of every round, he would just go, "Tylenol Jones," and I changed my name to Ibuprofen Dave, and we kind of hit it off.
Yeah.
But so the server we joined, like, you, first thing you load it up and you see the message of the day and it's like, "All right, no swearing or cursing or insulting people." And then it had this thing about no spoiling of future MLP episodes.
Yeah. And there were so many animated pony
splashes.
Much racism as well.
Yes, there was a lot of racism. But no, it's great because I turned off the allowing custom files to be downloaded from the server, but David did not.
Oh no!
And for some reason, I could hear myself. We had our own voice chat open. I could hear his audio through his speakers now and again, And so I just heard this whinnying and, you know, cutesy voices going like, stop it! And it was this, oh.
Yeah, it was the worst.
Sounds like you guys visited a hostel. Like, Jesus. Oh, but there's always some of the greatest server stuff. I know there's that old legendary story of when Anthony Gallegos and Sean Elliott joined a company of Hero Server, and it was called, like, the Christian Company or something, and it was just a guy trying to harass you into joining religions the whole time as you're playing a video game about killing people, which I just said just didn't make sense to me, but oh, it's hilarious.
Apparently, Postal 3 is a game that's coming out soon.
Imagine if Postal 3 was the Valve 3. It turned out they were developing it.
The game is actually amazing.
That would be good.
The best game. Alright, well, we're going to take a break. I might not be back after because apparently Comcast is just pooping the bed tonight. But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, we're going to take a break. We're going to talk about kind of all the stuff we saw at the VGAs, any other games you've been playing. I know we're continuing to prep our Game of the Year stuff, so we may touch on that a little bit. But yeah, we'll be right back. Hey everyone, welcome back. It's still episode 66. We're down one Brian Bolita because he transmogrified. He went into the ether, the digital ether of the internet. He was called back to Tronville. But we're still here. We got David Marchmont. We got Imran Khan. So it's good. We were just kind of discussing some games during the break and the perception of how bad PETA is.
Yeah.
Which is always, they're always that bad, aren't they?
Yeah, they always go
like a PETA for
over
machines.
The top, I think.
A PETA for machines?
Like Transformers and shit like that.
Yeah, to protect these. They may not have a soul, but we don't know. What if they did? You'd upset their soul. Even though they were in a terrible trailer that played sad music and it was funny, don't make fun of them.
Yeah,
the tag should be the real intelligent design.
Not really, because I mean, you're already a flying robot. Why is it intelligent design to suddenly turn into a fire breathing T-Rex?
Are Transformers born or were they built?
I don't. We'd have to ask Furry for that.
Yeah, we'd have to ask some of the local scholars.
Yeah. Is there a Transformers mythos?
I think so.
If after, 30 years they haven't explained that, that's kind of a gem.
Isn't it one of the...
I know there's, 1,000 different Transformers universes.
Yeah. Isn't there, an item that causes the machines to turn into robots?
Allspark? That sounds familiar.
Yeah, is that it?
Yeah, but I don't know if that's kind of what originally made them.
Hmm.
I think they're kind of just machine life somehow evolved.
Right. They didn't build the guys in the Ford factory didn't build they built the truck like normal, and then whenever it went out on the show floor it turned into something, and they're like, who added all those joints in there? And they're like, I didn't, I don't know where those came from.
Well, I mean, going by the proper Transformers movie, the 1980s cartoon, it shows that organic life is the rare life, because everything else in space is a robot, but only Earth is fleshy ones.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe we're the anomalies.
Well, that is true, man, because you have to look. The only thing on Earth that is different from all the other animals are humans. You see that?
Peter's gotten to you too, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Why are you peeling off that Tanuki suit?
I'm feeling we should be having an image of a certain ufologist at this point.
Yeah, to talk
is
about.
Is such a thing even possible?
Yes,
it is.
Well, I heard him on this podcast. It was like a 2.5 hour long podcast. And he made awesome points, and I was like, I never thought about that. And then he was like, and that means aliens. I'm like, what? No, it doesn't.
I think he's in on the joke. He has to be. He knows this is his career path now.
Yeah. I can see that.
Because nobody else would do that to their hair.
Man.
The aliens did it. He didn't do it.
Yeah. This is just how he's evolving, man.
Yeah. He's gone Super Saiyan.
He is an alien.
Yeah. He's proof of concept for that.
Did you guys see the Men in Black 3 trailer?
I did not. God, I saw the poster, terrible. But I didn't see the...
I feel like they're not going to be able to resist making a Barack Obama joke.
Yeah.
I feel like that's going to be the first thing that was written on a piece of paper for that movie.
What would the Barack Obama joke be? Would it be that Will Smith...
The same thing they do with like Dennis Rodman in the first movie, but like, oh, you think he's from Earth?
Oh, yeah. I was thinking if they do the whole mind eraser thing and be like, huh, I wonder if he'll forget this presidency. Bleep.
I think I'll go, well, he is
do
I think I'll go, well, he is an alien. He's from Kenya.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they'll use the birth certificate thing.
Yeah.
And prove that he wasn't actually born.
Yeah, it'll be like, why do you think we can't find the birth certificate or something?
Oh, it's right near the weapons of mass destruction.
Or like, of course they can't find it. We've had it on file here.
God, it's sounding like Free Republic.
That's going to be an awful movie. Because the trailer had Will Smith acting like young Will Smith, which he doesn't really do that well anymore.
Right. I mean, I will give him credit where it's due. He's becoming a hell of an actual actor. But yeah, him during Fresh Prince era Will Smith, that cannot happen anymore.
Well, even like, he took that for about... I'd say until about 2003, 2004. Because he rode that wave for a while. Yep. Then he started getting the more serious stuff, like 7 Pounds.
Yeah.
And even to an extent, Hancock.
Yeah, and even his stuff in I Am Legend. That first half of that movie, I still...
And then there was Ali as well, which was...
Yeah, Ali was...
Straight and serious, yeah.
Yeah. There was that whole era of movies where you had stuff, the biopic... Like, you had Ali, you had Ray Charles.
Howard Hughes.
Yeah. I wonder if those
They should do, like, Donald Trump.
And, let's see, who would be... It would have to be... I would pick someone that you wouldn't expect, like Issei Morales, to be to be Donald Trump in the biopic. And you're like, what?
I'd say Lou Diamond Phillips. Because not only does it look the part, I think he could... He does nothing but chew the scenery in every movie.
Yeah, it's true. He's just in the background with a drink. It's like he forgot he was filming that day.
I was going to say George Bush, but we've had one, haven't we?
Oh, yeah, it's called...
Yeah, there was that Bush movie.
Nobody saw it. No. I mean, I guess some people saw it, but apparently his book's real good. Apparently we all need to go buy that book.
George Bush's book?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Indecision Points or whatever. Supposed to be pretty good.
That's an awful name.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's like making up words on the cover of his yeah, even though they're both
strategize.
Words. Yeah. That's what it should have been called, a big underlined with like Marilyn Monroe font.
My first book.
MAH. My first book.
My first ready book.
No, what he should have called it is My Pet Government, and government would be spelled G-O-V-T. See, that would have been, like, incredibly humorous, if not kind of dark and macabre.
Yeah. Because he is on record as saying that things would be easier if America was a dictatorship. But that's been your political hour on the beer.
Yeah.
Hope you guys enjoyed. Next week, we're going to talk about Donald Rumsfeld.
Good old Don Rum.
Oh. Zinger.
But why Blackwater are changing their name again?
I think okay, here's the deal. This is how I'm going to tie this stuff in. I think it's telling that we'd rather talk about politics than the Video Game Awards. You know what I mean? Those VGAs, yeah. Man. And oh, to give them credit, this year it was better, right?
Really?
I've never seen one before. This was the first time they've streamed abroad. Well, it didn't stream abroad, but this is the first time I worked out how to use a proxy to watch
right.
it.
Right. Well, at least the picks made more sense, I guess.
They kind of, like, dumped them out all in one 30-second segment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was less the Video Game Awards and more, let's get Felicia Day on stage as much as we can.
God, why? I was hoping, like, that first segment where she got stuck to a wall, that was going to be the end of her, that they just couldn't get her down.
Like, they just have a broom swatting at her.
Then they brought her in for the Fruit Ninja thing, and then, like, she introduced the Bioshock trailer. Which, I'm going to say, reaction to video game names is kind of embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like, when she walked on stage and said Bioshock, and people cheered. Like, I love Bioshock, but
The thing with Bioshock is, here's a trailer that we know you're all going to buy, and we're not showing anything, really.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
Like, we've already seen 20 minutes of actual playthrough.
Right.
So, which kind of gives away a good chunk of the story if you kind of, like,
read it.
Yeah, they're not going to show anything, like, different areas this time.
Yeah. One thing I noticed from the trailer that might happen is you might play as the bird dude for a bit. In the trailer, it appeared.
See, what's interesting is I don't put it past Ken Levine to almost put a Metal Gear Solid 2. Like, he's showing us a lot of stuff that looks similar and showing repeats because he doesn't want to give away what really happens. And that
I get the feeling the game wants to make me feel something for the female partner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she looks too cartoony, I think.
Right, and here's the thing, and this is probably me giving Ken Levine too much credit, because I think Bioshock 1, like I said last podcast, is kind of a great example of post, like, or this era's basically version of storytelling, because there's so much to it, especially if you're kind of in the place we are, to where we talk about it critically, we talk about video games, we've seen the hobby kind of expand and go into the mainstream about the perception of choice, and I think I'm probably giving Ken Levine too much credit, but I hope he's making you feel like you need to feel something for this girl, and then using that against you. Using the fact that he knows how smart you are, and then he's going to outsmart you. You know what I mean? Like, because if anyone can do it, I think Ken Levine could.
Well, I think everybody criticizes Bioshock after the Would You Kindly revelation, but I mean, even that, I mean, Bioshock is essentially a kind of a thesis on freedom in games.
Exactly.
And even after the Would You Kindly moment, when the game, it does take a downhill point, step in the quality of what happens, but even that, I think, is part of the thesis.
Yes. Once you realize that there's a man behind the curtain making all of your choices for you, then the game's not fun. And that goes for any
because after that, the game actually opens out slightly because you get into the station and you can choose which of the three levels to tackle, and then you get the boss battle. And I think kind of my interpretation of it is you thought kind of like you'd been freed by this revelation of Would You Kindly, but you're still as on rails.
Yes.
You're still in that video game. And I think it was terrible and you shouldn't have to have played it because it was poorly implemented. But I think the point was still there that when you're playing a game, you're never truly going to be free.
You're right.
What worries me is that a lot of the things that worked about Bioshock, like, say, that you never actually meet with Atlas or Ryan for a long time, because he didn't have the money to model those CG things. It's like how Spielberg says, the reason you don't see Jaws is because they didn't have the budget to build a big mechanical shark.
Right, exactly. So they had to work around that hindrance.
Now Take-Two is pretty much giving him infinite money and infinite time.
Yeah.
So I wonder if maybe that's going to be like...
It's going to turn into the prequels, the Star Wars prequels.
Yeah, just bloated and full of ideas, and some of those are good and some of those not so much. I mean, I'm definitely optimistic, and I'm not even cautiously optimistic. Like, I know it's going to be a quality title. I just don't know if it'll recapture what made Bioshock so earth-shattering, I guess. And the thing is, a lot of people that played Bioshock didn't get that out of it, which I think is also telling. You know what I mean? There was a certain subsect of gamers that played it and was like, oh, yeah, the plot twist was really creative, and then I played the rest, and there was a boss fight at the end, and yeah, I liked it okay. And you're like, but what do you think the game was about? And they're like, oh, yeah, it was about you going to Rapture, and then you, you know, figured out all the stuff about your past. I'm like, sort of. You know, I mean, and it's not, I mean, it's not to get, take anything away from their experience of it, but making a game that you can literally peel back that onion and keep finding something is, that's something to be grateful for, especially now whenever we're getting sequel after sequel after sequel, and it's basically not pushing any boundaries, it's just putting in more stuff to make more busy work.
All that aside, I do wonder if they've actually improved the gunplay. Because, I mean, while to an extent that's kind of ignoring what Bioshock was focusing on, it would be nice if they made a good game behind it, too.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, the gunplay in Bioshock was disappointing, really.
Well, it's like in Skyrim, they improved the melee, and they improved the way you do battle, but battle kind of worked fundamentally the same. But they kind of fine-tuned it. And I agree, that would be in the series' benefit.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. When is it, actually? I know it's 2012 sometime. Mm-hmm. If they have actual date or quarter yet?
It's after E3, I think.
Yeah, like quarter three.
That's a while off.
Yeah
it's
they announced that game in middle of 2011. Or 2010, sorry.
So crazy.
Yeah, they announced that game really early. I was quite surprised at that, to be honest.
Like that, Street Fighter Cross Tekken was middle of 2010 as well.
Well, that wasn't supposed to be announced, I don't think, was it?
No, the Ono came out during Evo that year.
Oh, no, it was Tekken X Street Fighter that wasn't supposed to be announced.
Yeah, that was the have time to do this sort of thing.
Yeah, that was kind of, well, we've written it down on a whiteboard type announcement.
Right. Let's see, what else happened at the
Revengeance?
Revengeance,
This is going to be kind of our... This will be probably an hour-long talk, because... I think we all kind of agree with one another about what this is going to do, but I think we all have different details that we kind of want to hone in on. Okay, for those that don't know, at the Video Game Awards, they showed the newly relaunched version of Metal Gear Solid Rising, and it's called Metal Gear Solid Revengeance, and it's made by Platinum Games, which is the studio that did Bayonetta, which... Any Beardcast listeners know was the company that co-won Game of the Year last year, because it was between Mass Effect 2 and Bayonetta, and we just called it a tie because we all agreed to disagree. Yeah, exactly. We're like, we can't make a choice, so we both of them win, hooray! But but yeah, which is to me amazing news. It's awesome news because Imran brought up a good point that Kojima has done action games before with Zone of the Enders. But that's been a while ago.
It was his B-team, which were the people who were making Rising in the first place.
Right.
But, I mean, apparently, according to the Kojima podcast, they made the idea of cutting things and then could not think of anything else. Like, that was it.
I heard it had actually been straight up cancelled before Platinum said, oh, we'll have a go at it.
Yeah.
They cancelled it, but Konami kept pretending it was still a thing. Like, they specifically say, oh, Rising won't be at this show, but it might be at the next one.
Right.
And if they knew it was canceled, then I'm not sure what they were doing.
Yeah, biding time and...
Because, I mean, it's been 2 years since the reveal trailer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
I mean, for... This sounds horrible, but for a kind of a big Japanese game, 2 years from announcement is not a rare thing.
Yeah, 2 years from announcement's not a rare thing, but 2 years and not showing anything after that announcement.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, people have been saying, including me, have been just... chanting development hell because there was no way that game was turning, and we were right apparently.
Yeah,
that it wasn't turning out okay.
Kojima was too busy with other things, I assume, with the various kind of PSP games and what wasn't Peace Walker.
He's making Metal Gear Solid 5 at some point. Like that's probably what he's working on now. He just I guess that will probably come after Rising comes out.
Yeah, my guess is it'll be with that new Fox engine. They're going to use Metal Gear Solid 5 as kind of a heavy hitter for that. But yeah, I think it's good news because you have a team that is kind of proven to work well within the confines of an action title. What upsets me, though, and this is just me being my nerd, let me put on my nerd glasses for a moment. The fact is, whenever they rebought the license to the game, or whenever they got access to the rights to it, they looked at the script, which was going, and this is going into the Metal Gear lore, it was supposed to happen between Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty, and Metal Gear Solid 4, Sons of the Patriots, about how Raiden was taken in, turned into a half-cybernetic ninja, the same thing that happened to Frank Yeager, and then how he rescued Sunny from a child internment camp.
So she could learn to cook eggs.
Yeah, eggs, and flop them on Naomi. And, okay, so there's that. That was kind of the only gap in that lore. For that entire, 35-year timeline, mm-hmm. That was it. That was the only gap that we didn't know everything about. So, Platinum gets the rights. They get this, they look at the script and be like, nope, rip it in half and toss it out. We're doing this after Metal Gear Solid 4. And he's a full cyborg now. Raiden's a full cyborg. Which literally makes no sense whenever Metal Gear Solid 4 ended a very specific way.
Well, I mean, even at the time, he was just a head and a spine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was nothing
else. I mean,
he
still had a cyborg body. It just looked more human.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is
what you can see in the kind of the Rising trailer where the bodyguards get cut up, where they look human, but then they're clearly just cyborgs again.
Which they said was a thing mainly to avoid a high rating.
Yeah, to get kind of the adults-only rating, because there's a lot of hacking and slashing. That'd be a ton of gore, but...
It's like how Samurai Jack used to work, that every single enemy was a robot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they can...
And Samurai Jack was brilliant, so it's therefore a good idea.
Right. But the thing that gets me, and this is based completely on the story aspect of it, is none of it makes sense. Because at the
none
end...
None of it makes sense anyway.
Well, true, but at least it's in context with its craziness. But this even forgets all of that. So to me, this is like Dirge of Cerberus that came out for Final Fantasy VII about Vincent somehow taking out half of Shinra or something.
That game had a very stupid and convoluted story.
Yeah.
But it involves a lot of Hojo and Vincent just sort of looking at each other.
Yeah, because the thing is, Vincent and Hojo kind of had the coolest story because we didn't know a lot about it. And with what's-her-face, Lucretia, and all that stuff. So there was a lot of unspoken stuff there. But yeah, they basically made that story more pointless, which was upsetting. But,
but that's the thing. This isn't trying to fit itself into canon necessarily.
Yeah.
Platinum can do what they want to do from a gameplay perspective than, you know, have to say, okay, here's where Sunny is. No, you can't have Vamp in this fight. No, you can't throw a Metal Gear Ray at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, it's letting Platinum do what they want to do, because if they had set it between 2 and 4, which the kind of the story of how he becomes a cyborg is quite interesting.
Yeah.
They can't have the moment where he says, what if we have Raiden suplexing Metal Gear Ray? And I said, well, he can't do that.
In fairness, I think the story of Raiden rescuing Sunny is probably going to be pretty boring anyway.
Yeah, it's boring. Yeah. You wouldn't learn a whole lot. Like, what is he going to learn? Who the Patriots are? We already know that.
Yeah.
So,
and I think I imagine this will be the setup for Metal Gear 5.
Oh, man.
I think whatever they're doing in Peace Walker will probably be the setup for 5. I think this, like, the fact that they took Solid out of the title makes me think it's just, whatever, do what you guys want.
Yeah. And, it's almost like a Sonic Generations game, you know what I mean? Or it's almost like a Smash Brothers, to where they're using these things and they kind of put it into a context of its own, but it's not really even based on anything. It's like, oh yeah, Metal Gear has giant robots, let's do some of those. And they're
like Saints Row to Red Faction. They're the same universe, but Saints Row has nothing to do with it. Like, you'll get the same company name occasionally, but this is basically just, hey, here's Raiden. Maybe that guy's Vamp, maybe he's not, but
yeah.
Well, it's like Saints Row and Red Faction. There you go. They're the same universe. But when you think about it, there's no way that these two games could ever actually be in the same universe.
Right. Unless
the things you can do in Saints Row 3 are completely at odds with the kind of...
Or maybe because everything on Earth turned into Saints Row 3, like people just jumping off skyscrapers in banana costumes. That's why they moved to Mars. Yeah. Like, they're like, fuck this shit.
Mars is just full of the people that wanted a sensible life.
Right.
My concerns with Revengeance are that, like, if you're going to give the game an action game to Platinum, it needs to be for the action people.
Yeah.
Like, Hashimoto's not working on it, and he's the guy who, you know, brought us Resident Evil 4's combat system, Devil May Cry's, Bayonetta's. Kamiya's not working on it, and he's the action guy there.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they haven't announced a director yet, which leads me to... They said it's not Kamiya, though. So it's got to be somebody that... I'm guessing it's going to be the guy behind Anarchy Reigns and Mad World, which doesn't fill me with a whole lot of confidence that this is going to be a particularly fun action game.
No.
Because even in the trailer, I mean, I'm sure it's early, that the earliest they could have gotten this game was spring of this year. And the latest they're going to release it is 2012, or sometime in 2012. So we're looking at about 18 months of development time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's early, but I don't have a whole lot of confidence that it's going to improve a whole lot either.
Right.
And in the trailer, he was very awkwardly swinging the blade at people, and they were not reacting at all. Some enemies would just sort of stand back while he was fighting some other enemy. It's not what I would look for when you toss Platinum Games' name around. It should mean something.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, this game is showing me more that it's like, hey, this might as well be made by Sony Santa Monica or High Voltage or whoever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And isn't it working that all the battles and things like that are being handled by Platinum, but the cutscenes are being done by Koji Pro?
They're being done by, what was his name? Kobayashi,
mm-hmm.
who is he's a cutscene director that... been in a ton of games, but, like, his most notable game was Namco Whiskey.
Oh.
See, I can already tell, though, that I prefer, from what we've seen of the cutscenes in Metal Gear Rising, that everything feels a lot more solid. Like, you know, in Metal Gear 4, when they have a cutscene of Raiden fighting Vamp, and it's just kind of that really floaty, nothing seems to have impact type of thing.
Yeah, there's no physics.
Whereas in this trailer, when you have the two cyborgs fighting on a train, there felt like there was weight between each hit and things going on. It felt a lot, as a cutscene, which isn't, you know, much to judge a game from, it felt there was a lot more weight to the fight.
Yeah, which makes sense. Because, yeah, one of the recent trends that just drives me crazy is that, yeah, what you referred to, just like weird ballerina floaty astronaut physics to where people are just doing like half gainers for no reason. And I'm like, what? Like, Final Fantasy XIII did the same thing. That's why I just could not take it seriously. Everybody was like an Olympian gymnast. And I was like, this is nonsense. Like, what are they doing? Like, imagine if, like, the new... Like, arguably, I would watch more Glee if Glee had that. If all they did was fucking backflip everywhere. Like, you know what I mean? Like...
See, the cutscenes are part of what bothers me about this. Not because they're, like, different from Metal Gear Solid or whatever. I don't care about that. But... if you took the final Jean fight from Bayonetta and you paired it next to a cutscene that showed the exact same thing, they would not differ that much.
Right. Yeah.
But if you took the Rising cutscenes and paired them next to the game footage they showed, they differ a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're.
But I think making a decision to have the. I mean, we can't judge the game too much yet, but it looks like they've made the decision that to actually cut people, which is kind of the point of the game, that this sword you're wielding is incredibly sharp and you're cutting people up with it, you have to go into this slow-mo mode. And that seems weird to me. I mean, that should just be, this mook's got no health left. You just cut him into pieces and move on. It shouldn't be
that
special.
What it reminds me of is Mad World, when you would attack some guy with a bunch of attacks, and then you could chainsaw him in half.
Right, yeah. Like the finisher move, and they'll just stay stunned forever if you don't. Like, go towards them for a QTE of some sort.
Yeah. That looked a bit God of War-y to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
That's the problem what bothers me about this, is that it's Platinum. They should be, you know, blazing their own trail.
Mm-hmm.
And this game looks at best derivative, and at worst derivative and bad.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, this is basically better than what we were getting, which is nothing because it was canceled. Yeah. But my whole thing is there a point? Like, are they making this game for a reason? Because
they have themselves.
Yeah. And also, it'll be the only current gen Metal Gear Solid that's worth playing, probably.
Right. Yeah, well, or even then,
can play even.
Yeah, that's not a 50-hour movie. And I mean, yeah,
at least it'll keep the lights on in platinum. That's important, I suppose. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they, I mean, it's better that they get paid by Konami than get continually jerked around by Sega.
Yeah, this might fund Bayonetta 2.
Yeah, you never know. Interesting. Let's see. What else did we see at the VGAs? Kind of that was the big reveal. We saw. Do we want to talk about the funny Transformers trailer? About
Gears of Transformers. When Optimus Prime was holding that other robot, sorry, Transformers nerds, I don't know the actual name. He was holding that yellow robot in his hands, and Bumblebee. It was like Bumblebee. He was looking into his eyes, and there was just sad music playing. I just lost it.
Yeah,
it
and then even the lights in Optimus Prime's like his eye light like started
flickering kind of like a little bit. Yeah,
like he was tearing up or something. I was like, what is it? What? Is he powering down? What the fuck's going on?
And then as it kind of builds to this sad, sad crescendo, a fucking Transformer turns into a T-Rex and starts breathing fire. And that was the best trailer of the show. It was absolutely fantastic. Oh. And everybody should go and watch it because...
Oh, my God.
And then honestly, as much as I hate to say it, it's kind of sold me on the game just to see how thematically inappropriate this game is going to be. What else are they going to get wrong?
See, it's funny because if they paired it to like some rock, rap, guitar crap that you'd listen to when you were 14 and think was the best thing ever, that would be a fantastic trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if it was to a bit of Limp Bizkit, everybody would be loving it.
Or the Linkin Park.
Because it would realize what kind of stupid it is.
Has anybody doubled it up with Guile's theme yet?
I can go do that after this.
I bet that.
I think we should do this.
They'd be pretty good. I don't know. Okay, knowing our luck, we're like, what the F is this? And then they're going to show, like, two or three features in the game that look pretty fantastic, but it'll be surrounded by Transformers, and I just don't give a shit.
The last one, I think it was War for Cybertron or whatever.
Yeah.
That one wasn't bad, but it was aggressively mediocre.
Yeah.
Right.
The only good Transformers game was the PS2 one.
The one where you're like, you're fighting that big frigate guy, then you're
fighting the aircraft carrier, and then you jump. It was kind of Shadow of the Colossus before that game came out, I think.
Yeah.
That was a good game, but War for Cybertron, all you could say for it was that it's not a bad game. You know?
There's
it's not a bad
crap
game.
Out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could be playing Force Unleashed instead. Think how lucky you are.
Yeah. Let's see. Any other trailers we got? Oh, yeah. Tony Hawk HD.
Did that get a trailer?
Well, yeah. Sort of. Well, it was a
playthrough of the warehouse.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In the first game.
So people are like, I think I remember that. And then it does a long shot. And you're like, holy crap.
Yeah.
How good that game is going to be determined solely by whether they relicense the music.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also whether they allow the improvements from the later games in that let you keep up a trick line when you're on the flat.
Or like reverts and stuff like that.
And things like that. Because if it's just Tony Hawk's kind of 2 in HD, then yeah, it'll be great for nostalgia, but it won't be something that'd keep... Like Tony Hawk's 3, I play for hours and hours and hours. Like it was... Well, at the time, it was probably the only PS2 game worth owning when it came out.
Yeah. I'm trying to think
It was a launch game, wasn't it? Tony Hawk 3?
It was
very close to.
Yeah, it was within like 7 or 8 months, I think.
It was the only game other than Fantavision worth playing.
Other than the Summoner worth going after.
Yeah.
What was that other one?
I should
one?
Track down the Bouncer. I'm sure that's awful, but I want to know how awful.
Oh, it's terrible. I've got it.
What's that other one? That action game, that Infernal... What was it called?
Oh, no, that's that Konami JRPG.
Yeah, yeah.
Ephemeral Fantasia.
That's it.
And you could use the guitar controller they had for one of their guitar games. Because for some reason, Konami had this guitar game that somehow failed to be popular before Guitar Hero 3.
Guitar Man?
No, it was like... It was their... It was a guitar game with a guitar peripheral.
Oh, that's right. It was their version.
Guitar Hero, and yeah. Flopped completely.
It was after Beatmania, but it was... Yeah. I know what you're talking about now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, God, what was it
Guitar
called?
Guitar Freaks.
Yeah, and you could use that as... I think it was like his special weapon in this shitty JRPG that had, like, sub-PS1 graphics.
Ugh. Can you imagine how blurry that game is? Like, if you just go back and play it now, it's like, it'll be blurrier than an N64 game. Which is...
so bad. It was like... Literally the only thing they were selling it on was there are no other JRPGs out at the moment.
That's it. And I bought it too, like a dumbass. Oh, I did, man. I was all about it. I was like, I'm going to play this game. And then even then, I knew that this was garbaggio.
It's like, there are no good launch RPGs.
No.
Yeah,
like, Oblivion might be the closest thing.
Yeah, and that was even just launch window. Like, that
was like a year after.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was crap.
How dare you? How dare you?
No, I'm the biggest Elder Scrolls fan in the world, but Oblivion was crap.
I mean,
I love the game. I poured hours into the game.
Right.
Even unmodded, I poured hours into the game. I love it, but it was crap.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Like, I have it for like 500 or 600 hours played, but it gave me something to do. I'll put it that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I could go outside or I could go and stay in this nice safe outside on my computer screen.
Oh, man. Let's see. There was... Yeah, Tony Hawk. We talked a little bit about Last of Us. The funny Transformers trailer. Oh, God. What else was there?
Hey, guys.
Yeah?
What if Sonic ran like an idiot?
Yeah, I saw those ads.
Yes.
Oh, we need to make that the show notes. Just that we don't even type anything. We just put that animated GIF of Sonic bumbling around like a fool.
There's like 90 of them, and they're all incredible.
Is this just from like a somebody's Image Shack folder or something?
Yeah, Zerman, who made like a really... He makes really good Zelda comics, and he made a picture. It was like, what if Sonic ran like an idiot? And Nedroid, the guy who makes Bertato, responded with Sonic running like an idiot. So they made a Tumblr of fuck yeah, idiot Sonic.
It doesn't have the horrific, realistic Sonic on it, though. The computer animated one?
The Unreal 3 Sonic?
Yeah, that's... Oh, God.
I am looking at all these right now. I do have to put a few of them in the show notes, I think. It's like, hurry, guys, Sonic's on his way to listen to the Beardcast.
There's one, and he just kind of looked like a rotating swastika.
Oh, man.
See, the best thing about this is, like, somebody made a thread on Gaff. It's like, what if Sonic ran like an idiot? And one of the first posts was modern Sonic. Just no edit or anything.
Yeah, and for people that are here right now, still listening, it's fuckyeahidiotsonic.tumblr.com. And I like the one where he's face-planted. And he's like coasting along.
Just scraping his face along. Well, the one in the mobility scooter.
Yeah, the one in the Walmart mobile is what I refer to it as. Oh, man.
There's one when he keeps slapping his face when he's running as well.
Oh, these are phenomenal. This has made the night so much better. It washed all the memories of that Transformers trailer out of my mind.
We should set this, like, these GIFs to just super sad music.
Yeah, and zoom in slowly.
Like in the arms of an angel. Just
randomly insert some of them into that Transformers trailer.
Just running like past.
Like the bit where Megatron's kind of ordering the troops forward, it just has one of these just running past.
The big fat one with the gumpy face, like, running, like, oh, dude. Oh, man. Oh, God, yeah, we have to put some of these in the show notes because these are just too funny. But, yeah, have we been playing anything else besides... I know I've been doing a lot of Mario Kart and a few games I don't want to say on the air because they're going to be surprises on some Game of the Year lists.
I've been playing an old but fantastic first-person RPG.
Mm-hmm.
Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines.
Good man.
I thought you were going to say Skyrim again.
Yeah.
No.
You guys maybe heard of this, but...
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's quite a... obscure series called The Elder Scrolls. No, I stopped playing Skyrim once the patch broke it, and I haven't got back to it yet.
Yeah, I need to get back to it again.
But yeah, I've been playing Vampyr because it's just fantastic. And if you haven't got it,
yeah,
you should get it on Steam.
Yeah, we're about to enter the Steam holiday sale time.
Oh, yeah. God, no.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's going to be destructive.
Pocketbook kind of prepped up, because now I think this year is going to be kind of nice, because I'm just waiting for sales on games that it sounds cool, and yeah, I do want to own that game, but I don't want to pay full price for it.
Yeah, it's also the relentless
HQ pack this year, because somebody needs to. I don't know when their games are going to go, if they ever go out of business.
Yeah, the THQ stuff.
Yeah.
See, just get the only ones you need are the Saints Row the Third and Company of Heroes.
I need to buy, what's his name? Space Marine. Gears of War.
Space Marine, Dawn of War.
Yeah, Dawn of War series as well. Like any of the Relic RTS, you're safe.
Yeah. Just
go with those and you'll be super happy.
I finished Assassin's Creed because I'm apparently a battered wife. Like, not just finished it, 100%ed it.
Oh.
Really? Even like, all the horrible collecting things?
Yeah. Like, there's a thing where you get an achievement for holding every city at once, and if you don't constantly do jobs in those cities, like the Facebook crap stuff they've been adding in the last few games, if you don't constantly do jobs, you're going to lose those cities eventually. So I would constantly put 5 people in a city and then have them do jobs over and over and over. And this would be like a 10-minute process each time.
God.
At some point, I apparently did too many jobs at once, and the game would hardlock if too many came back. So I just keep restarting the system, and I'd be like, no, fuck you, I'm going to finish this, I'm going to get this achievement. So, theoretically, if it didn't work out the way it did for me, like, it just happened to fall into a pool at the right time, thus delaying a mission coming back, then you could lose your save file completely, because every time you come back, it would just keep bringing those jobs in and hardlock.
God. They need to, if they're going to keep doing this, they need to go to at least an 18-month cycle.
Yeah.
Or get 2 studios on it, so you get one every year, but it's taken 2 years to make.
The actual multiplayer is pretty fun, though. I've been playing that the last couple of days. It's far better than the single-player game.
Yeah, I've only played the Brotherhood multi, but I can't imagine it's much different than it's...
I assume it's exactly the same with a few new maps.
Yeah, it takes a while to click, but once it clicks, it's fantastic, and you realize that it's not just kind of... Because when you first play it, it's like, how the fuck did they know? This is all just luck, there's no skill involved.
Yeah.
But then once you pull a few hours into it, you can actually start to learn that... Like, you're watching them... If they're smart, they've gone into a crowd of the same models. So you're kind of looking, well, which of these models is slightly out of sync with the others? And
yeah.
Quite a lot of subtlety.
Who's best at looking like a computer?
Yeah, exactly. Who's the best at not looking real?
Yeah, I've been playing it with Scholarly from the forums, and it's a lot more fun if you're playing it with someone you know, because everyone else is an asshole.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like, we played a game where people were just... The idea of deathmatch is to be stealthy and not be seen, but these people were just flying around, chasing after their targets completely out in the open, getting on rooftops, and we're trying to be stealthy and losing horribly. So once we start doing what they're doing, then we start winning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, stay away from all the haystacks, because there's always someone in about to stab you.
Yeah.
Always.
People always look at those haystacks to know who's going in.
Yeah.
But yeah, that game is not good, so don't buy it. But if you happen to find it pretty cheap, the multiplayer is not bad.
Nice. Has it done a lot of improvements since Brotherhood?
Multiplayer or the game?
Yeah, the multiplayer.
I barely played Brotherhood's multiplayer, but it seems like the same basic thing to me.
Functionally the same. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I have Brotherhood on Steam, so I may just end up doing that. Get the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
As in not the bad parts of Revelations.
God, some of the stuff they messed up in that game, it's crazy. It's a lesson to developers that... I guess it's not a very good lesson, because the game sold better than Brotherhood did already.
Ugh.
But it's a lesson to developers that you can't just keep piling crap on something and pretending it's good.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those Call of Duty series after a while.
It has to be, man.
Whereas people just start hating it, but it still sells millions.
Yeah.
And this is secondhand, but I mean, you know, being like working in a game store, it's kind of a microcosm because we kind of see all the same things that the MPD shows, we kind of see that same type of action happen on a much smaller level inside our store. And this year seems like the year where people are pissed at Call of Duty. We have more used copies of Modern Warfare 3 than we know what to do with. Like, enough so that we have to move some of them to the back.
Did you know Halo did not chart?
Do what? What happened? What's up?
Have we lost Imran?
I think so.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Skype's being very strange today.
It is bizarre. Oh man, we lost another soldier.
Yeah.
Like, going down in this fight.
Like flies.
But yeah, what I was basically saying is, Imran, are you there?
Yeah, apparently I got the bleeder disease.
I was about to say we lost another soldier. But yeah,
as soon
what were you
as
saying
as
about...
soon as we started slating Call of Duty, everything
I know, this is weird. We started making fun of one thing first. He's like, here's what I didn't like about such and such, and then it, like, killed his internet connection.
I was going to say that Halo did not chart this month.
Really?
It should be like, yeah, it's... I mean, I know it's only a remake,
right.
But it's
well,
Halo.
Well, I have to admit, I haven't bought it.
Neither have I. And yeah. It's not... I feel like if you're Microsoft and this is your first non-Bungie Halo, you're probably going to start rethinking your,
yes.
Hey, we just made a studio for only Halo.
And at least it's somewhat early enough that they don't...
Well, I haven't seen it being marketed anywhere. Like, yeah, I've seen it in the usual places, but
right.
I've never seen, like, you go walk down the street and there are hundreds of Call of Duty banners,
yeah,
an
exactly.
equal amount of Battlefield banners. There's nothing for Halo.
Right. Yeah.
I think they maybe just think it's Halo, so they don't need to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Even
but that's
though it's,
wrong, because you
yeah.
need to do it every year.
I agree. But yeah, it's weird because this seems like the year where people are pissed at Call of Duty. Because sure, it sold a ton, but we had, like I said, we have so many copies of it, for, like used copies of it, that because people would just bring it back and be like, this is the same game. And I was like, I hate to say told you so, but whenever they bought it, I was like, yeah, so what do you play, Battlefield or Modern Warfare? And they're like, man, Modern Warfare! And then they came back 2 days later. You know, so it's really the same game.
Well, they went in, when they were developing the game, they went in with this really, really strange decision in the multiplayer to make there be no pressure points on the map. So everywhere is as strategically important as everywhere else.
Ugh.
Which, yeah, it's good for balancing, but it's not because it doesn't create any choke points, any focus points.
Yeah, there's
it
not.
It doesn't, it kind of runs contrary to the flow of the map. Like,
right.
The pressure, a good pressure point on a multiplayer game should be a pivot point.
Yeah, think about Left 4 Dead. Think about Left 4 Dead if they didn't have the random now.
Panic events.
Yes, yeah. 700 zombies are running at you. Like,
yeah, I'm gonna laugh so hard if Left 4 Dead 3 is the game at E3.
I almost imagine it is. It has to be.
I really want Half-Life 3, but also almost equally, I want it to be Left 4 Dead 3 or Portal 3, just to watch the nerd world explode.
Right.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out a way to express that joke in words.
Left three deads. Left all of them. All of the deads. But yeah, I don't think it's going to be Half-Life 3. I really don't.
I think they're definitely think working on it because there's been too many small leaks. Like, you know, people going to Valve's offices and seeing Combine concept art.
Yes.
Yeah, and kind of employees going jokingly wearing t-shirts with Half-Life 3 on, which, yeah, could just be a joke, but it's probably...
Well, it completely makes sense, and these things don't seem related, but Dota 2 coming out...
Yeah, once that comes out, I think Half-Life will ramp up.
Yes, that production will start ramping up, because is Dota 2 still working on... Is it going to work on kind of a hybrid transaction deal? Like, you're going
to
buy the... I don't know if it's going to be free to play. It might be kind of a discounted price, like you get the game for $20, and then
I've always assumed that a lot of what they've been doing with Team Fortress 2, was a practice run for Dota 2.
For Dota 2, which would totally make sense. If it is free to play, that's brilliant. But I even see them being able to get away with selling it for $20 and then doing the League of Legends style. Here's character bundle packs and stuff. I don't think people would really have too big of a problem with it because it's guaranteed to be a certain type of game and a very good version of that type of game.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to try to find a way. I mean, yeah, it'd be great if it was like $5 or if it was even free to play. I just don't know if they'll take that.
What I don't understand about these games is they all seem to have the same maps.
Yeah, it really is. It's kind of like saying...
I just don't understand this game at all. They've all got the same... How can three...
People raise hell if they don't. That's the weird thing.
Same maps. It's strange to me.
Yeah,
because it's like if you made Counter-Strike again, which they're doing, and didn't have the... What was it? D-Dust?
Yeah, D-Dust.
Yeah. Well, the Counter-Strike Source thing is just basically a HD port. But yeah. With a few new models and textures.
But if they made an actual like Counter-Strike 2 or Counter-Strike 3 or whatever they're on, I don't know my Counter-Strike.
Yeah.
If they didn't have those maps, people would be pissed.
Right.
Yeah.
And then there's 24/7 DE Dust servers for the new, you know what I mean? Like they're just going to run that, which they've already played for 15 years. But it's, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be Half-Life 3 this time. But also it's one of those, yeah, sure, I'd like an announcement and all that good stuff, but take as much time as they need on that. Because if there's one game on the planet I want the developer to get right, it is Half-Life 3.
But I think Valve are actually, we kind of joke about Valve time and stuff, but I think they're more in tune to the consumer than they kind of let on. And I think... Yeah. I think there is a kind of momentum building of, we want Half-Life 3... or fuck you, Valve, basically. Yeah. And I think it's starting to build to a tipping point now that where they're going to have to be forced to show something.
Yeah, show their hand, at least. Yeah, because, I mean, Steam is a perfect example. Steam is so successful because Valve understands what customers want. So, yeah, they need to do that with their own IPs. And, you know, even doing, alternate reality game or the whatever it was at the VGAs, you know, that's still Valve being Valve and, like, going after their specific demographic. But yeah, like, I'm excited to see what it is, but him being sly and saying that there's a 3 in the title.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what makes me think that maybe it's not Half-Life 3.
Right.
Because that's too obvious.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you get into the Diablo 3 beta?
Did I? No, sadly.
I've been having a good amount of schadenfreude about it. And seeing people like, oh, I'd love to play, but the servers are down.
Yeah,
right.
This is what gets me. How can Blizzard, of all people, of any company out there, how can Blizzard be having this problem?
Yeah.
They run the most successful, massively multiplayer game that has ever existed. They know server load, or they should know server load.
And it's bad PR in general. If you're trying to convince everyone that, like, oh, it's okay that our single-player game always needs to be connected... You can't have your server go down.
Yeah, exactly. That's what happened with StarCraft. StarCraft 2 had this exact same problem. And now what's even worse about with StarCraft 2 is they will be in Korea at the GSL, which is a global StarCraft league. It is basically – it is it. That is the NFL of Korea. You know what I mean? Like, that is their sport. And because everything has to be connected onto Battle.net, Battle.net will crash in the middle of, like, the world finals. And then it's like, what? We have to take a 15-minute break so Blizzard can get Battle.net working.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, they should know better. At least have a dude fucking handcuffed to a private server.
Yeah.
Like, running.
Have 7 servers there.
Oh, how can that happen? How can that happen? And here's Blizzard talking about how they want to make this a global esport. We want to really make sure we get on ESPN. And then do dumb shit like that. Blows my mind. Oh, my goodness. That company I love to death, man. And I'm one of the biggest Blizzard apologists, but they make some dumbass decisions sometimes. And, you guys are right.
Gamer Gods.
The Gamer God Award, sponsored by Bugles. Potato chips.
Did they release anything this year?
Blizzard? No. Cataclysm was last November?
Yeah, Cataclysm was last year. So the only thing they really made this year was the Diablo 3 beta?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is broken, so.
Yeah.
Pretty good Gamer Gods there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I will
God
say that
cruel.
I'm.
What are you gonna do?
I'm so excited for Diablo 3, though. Oh God, if I thought Skyrim and Deus Ex were bad enough, whenever Diablo 3 is gonna be a mess.
To be honest, I was turned off from Diablo 3 when the browns weren't brown enough.
Right, whenever it wasn't dark and all the blood dripping. Oh, that was the funniest argument. Oh, in related news, I saw this news the other day and I got excited because this is something we talked about on the Beardcast like 9 months ago.
It was they announced that your real money transactions in Diablo 3, you know how they have the real money auction house, you can use that money to pay for your WoW subscription. And I was like, that's kind of neat. That's a neat little deal. I mean, it was kind of implied that they were going to do that, but you know, now it's like, okay, if I'm good at the auction house in Diablo, then I never have to pay for WoW ever again.
If I were Blizzard, I would start getting into criminal syndication, because that seems like a great way to launder money.
Right. Yeah. Because they take a cut. They absolutely take a cut. And it's all digital, so it's real money for them, but fake money for us.
When is their new IP coming out?
Titan?
Titan.
I'm guessing the second WoW subscription dip below 9 million.
Well, it's either that, but they're timing it in such a way that BlizzCon this past year was kind of focused on all three franchises, because at least they had something to show. I think what's going to happen is Mist of Pandaria is going to be the last WoW expansion. It's the last one.
Didn't they say differently? Like, they're just going to do a bunch more expansions?
Well, they're going to
do shorter ones?
Well, yeah, what's called mini expansions, which is basically going to be like raid updates and stuff like that. So it's going to be kind of the same way that EVE Online has worked all these years. Like, they don't actually have real expansion packs, but they just add a few more things and one big feature, and that's it. And they do that 4 times a year.
So free DLC, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And
stuff patched in.
Yeah. So I think we'll see Titan. We'll see a glimpse of Titan, maybe not of the game proper, but it'll start being teased at BlizzCon next year. That's probably just a theory, but I think it's going to be one of those, like, oh, and here's the end of our State of the Union address. We have one more surprise for you. And then you hear about the legends of whatever, and then it has the logo. And then
we realize it's just Firefall.
Right. Why? We realize that they're making Dwarf Fortress.
Yeah, but that game was supposed to come out this month, wasn't it? Firefall from the ex-Blizzard guys. The free-to-play shooter.
Yeah, which looked pretty cool.
Yeah. Is it coming out, or...?
I saw some news on it. Yeah, I know there's news on it. I just haven't kept up with it.
I know that they were warring with Giant Bomb at some point. Like, they were telling their fans to go mess with their Twitters or their forums or something.
Classy.
Oh, they probably badmouthed Firefall on a podcast.
Probably.
Yeah.
That seems like... PC developers are hilarious.
They really are.
I mean, that's one thing about having a massive company running your games, like with consoles, is that they know that you don't mouth off at people.
Yeah, everything has to go through PR that way.
Yeah.
But if, like, you're one of those independent developers that, like, we don't need PR, we're straight from the community, then that's going to bite you in the ass.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, the same community that's going to post Goatsy on your forums, that community? Okay, great. Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't think there was anything else at VGAs.
Yeah.
Sony has confirmed that Fumita Ueda has officially left Sony.
That is a big deal.
Yeah. And didn't one of the other programmers quit as well?
Probably. At this point, I mean, Shumiko is just... Yeah.
I'm getting the impression that The Last Guardian is going to be very rushed and not particularly good.
Yeah. Well, but
I think people need to understand, like, prepare themselves mentally that this game is not going to be as good as they think it will.
Yeah, but they've been working on it for a while, haven't they? I mean, it's not like...
6 years.
Yeah, so, to be fair, even if he left right now, isn't a majority of the work kind of done?
Well, they were working on Final Fantasy 13 for 6 years, and it was a shooter-based RPG.
And as of about 2006, Team Ico was about 20 people. And then Sony forced him to hire more people, but he would only take 10. And he had to personally interview and train them.
Hmm.
So he's read between the lines here, and you can probably see why he left Sony. Because at some point they were like, fuck you, just make the game.
And with Final Fantasy 13, didn't the main developer either get so sick that they thought he was going to die?
You're thinking of 12.
That was 12.
Was that 12? Okay,
got eye cancer.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Like, so he had to leave the project, but it was basically...
Fans abs.
But, like, Ueda's working on the game, he's contracted out, so it's probably not that unharmonious.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing... You can't have an auteur developer and just let him work on things for all time, because then he'll work on things forever,
Yeah.
No one's going to want to let go of their baby that easily.
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, I think this is something that kind of Japanese developers as a whole need to get a grip on, especially for next generation, is that you can't afford to spend 6 years developing a game, because in 6 years, the game has changed completely.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at The Witcher 2. The Witcher 2 took 2 years.
Yeah.
And it's graphically brilliant, games, yeah. Plays well. And look at, say, Resident Evil 5.
Yeah.
That took about 3 years, and it doesn't look nearly as good as that game.
Right.
Nor does it play as well.
Yeah. It's so bizarre.
And they're getting Dead Rising down on a yearly schedule now, which I'm not sure I like.
Well, that's because it's a Western developer now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like...
I don't think they should have released off the record, to be honest.
I played it because I liked Dead Rising 2, but yeah. It's basically just a expansion.
Well, it's less that and just more, I would be more open to a new full Dead Rising game.
Yeah.
If off the record. Because then it would be, oh, you know what hasn't appeared for a while? Dead Rising.
Yeah, 2 years cycle is good for that game, because there's too much franchise fatigue, there's too much genre fatigue. I can't do that every year.
Yeah, there's too many zombies.
I think even every 2 years is kind of a lot, because that's a very specific style of open world sandboxy. It's like you're in a shopping mall. Yeah.
Go where these That's what bothered me off the record, is it diminished the roguelike kind of quality of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what I liked with Dead Rising 2 was the DLC pattern, where it was standalone, relatively cheap. And I mean, yeah, everybody gave the one that came out before Dead Rising 2 shit because it was paying for a demo. But I would prefer that, kind of a regular stream of that, to a game like Off the Record.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Off the Record was priced way too high.
Yeah, it should have been.
They just said, like, you know, $20 DLC or $20 disc. Like Undead Nightmare did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're complaining about a lot of stuff like old men.
Yeah, we're like, ah, remember back when you just buy the cartridge and have to blow in it?
Oh, that actually damaged the cartridge.
Not my saliva. It's made of rubbing alcohol and...
mineral, distilled mineral water.
Oh, man. But yeah, we're still working on our Game of the Year stuff.
Are we still doing the podcast?
Yes.
I assume, yeah.
Yeah.
So when everyone gets back in town, we actually need to sit down and do that.
Oh. We haven't started it, and I'm already tired. You know what I mean?
It should be one of those things we need to start in, like, middle of the afternoon.
Yes, we all request a day off work and wake up at, like, 11 a.m. and, like, get a nice, good lunch in and then come in swinging. Oh, because, man, there's a lot of stuff released this year.
I mean, even after we narrowed down all our stuff, I had, like, 7 awards to give out. And that's still not even, like, all the stuff I want to put in there.
Right, exactly.
I'm going to assume that the game of the year is going to be that Wipeout game for Kinect. So have I just spoiled it for everybody?
Yeah, it's going to be...
Self-defense Kinect. Where they use the word genital triangle.
Really? Oh, my goodness. What does that make? What disappears in the genital triangle?
Oh. That's where you're supposed to aim for when kicking people.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
The quote-unquote crotch area. they get like 3 different synonyms for just saying kick him in the dick.
Yeah. And don't they literally... Do they say the word penis? They say something that made me laugh. They're like very graphic.
You're 12.
Yeah. And like, please kick him in the genitals. I'm like... Like, just that weird laugh where I'm like, hee-hee, look what he's doing, he's kicking him.
That game's going to get someone sued.
Yeah. He learned how to kick someone in the nuts from a video game, and I was like, no, he learned that in the 3rd grade.
Yeah. That was a special move.
Yeah.
There's Duke Nukem DLC.
Oh, about...
It's cut content that didn't make the full game, so not good enough to get into Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah, they couldn't... In that 15-year development cycle, they just couldn't find a place to squeeze that on in there.
Also, $10.
I bought the game for $10, and I paid way too much for it.
Yeah, every time it comes up on Steam sale, I'm like, nope, still too high.
I think I would hate someone less if they bought me Bad Rats over Duke Nukem.
Oh.
You know not what you ask.
Right.
Yeah, because at least I would know that Bad Rats is a troll game that I could laugh at. But if they bought me Duke Nukem, I'd be like, do they seriously think I'm that type of person?
This is what they actually think of you.
Yeah. Am I being judged unfairly here?
Oh, God, that was such a bad fucking game.
Yeah. 13 years we waited for that piece of shit.
I'm still convinced that it was brilliant. I'm still convinced that the whole thing, all of it, was just so... There, we will never again in our lifetimes... It's like seeing a meteor come a certain distance to Earth. Never again in our lifetimes, gentlemen, will we get to experience that type of nonsense. For anything. I don't even think another industry could do that. Like,
well, Fez is kind of getting up there.
Well, but who cares about Fez?
Seriously.
Yeah. I mean, at least Duke Nukem had bad name recognition. Oh, yeah. Here's the thing that made it even better. Is it had a bad name recognition. Like, Duke Nukem 3D was good, but it wasn't even the best game released that year using that engine. So it's like, oh, man. What if we all got hyped up? I'm going to bring up Bronchi the Brontosaurus again. What if we got hyped up for a 13-year revival about, like, Bubsy coming back? That's what it is to me. It's like the new gags. Are you ready?
I would no lie play a new Bubsy game. I mean, I know it would be terrible, but I'd play it.
It's a high-def version of Bubsy 3D, so it's still the same bad textures and, like, big grid of nonsense.
Wasn't Bubsy 3D the one that got so fast that you could go so fast that it would confuse, like, the PlayStation?
Oh, not Bubsy 3D. Bubsy 3D is the most, like, it's like you took an Ambien. It's you're playing it and, like, everything is a sludge of...
Because there was one game that kind of tried to capitalize on Sonic, and it was like, they were like, this is the 3D game Sega won't give you. And, oh no, it was Gex, wasn't it? The lizard game.
That's right, it was Gex, because the camera was so fast. Like, yeah. Gex ran a decent speed, and, like, him doing all the stuff at a decent clip, but the camera would spin and just go fucking bonkers. It's like if the cameraman tripped and threw the camera, and, like, the camera, like, fell down a flight of stairs. Oh, it was impossible to control that game.
Yeah, like, you moved the stick once, or whatever, the control of the camera, and it would just spin around him as if you, like, battered a swing.
As, like, someone tumbled over the dolly, and then the dolly was just, like, swinging in suspension. Oh, man. But no, Bubsy 3D, there's this really famous video that I watch probably once a month because I have nothing better to do.
The 500 hours of Bubsy 3D.
Where he's like, now you're going to see us go into the mountain that we're not supposed to go into. And then he jumps onto
I'm going to rebel.
Yeah, and then he talks about it, and he's like, you have to stand here, and you have to duck, and then you have to hit these four buttons, and then you'll go up, and then you'll do the... And I'm like, how did he learn any of this for Bubsy 3D out of all games? Out of all the games on the planet? Like, at least, you know, all the Sonic games, they'll have, like, hidden areas that you're not supposed to get to, but it's fun to break it because you use the functionality of the game. There's some things, like cheat codes. Like, how did people find out about Big Head Mode? Who knows? Like, do you have to hold select, and you have to hit all the top buttons, and then you have to whisper something to your mother? Like, how do people test this theory? Like, where do they get this idea to do it?
I always assume developers how to hardlock Assassin's Creed, so...
Yeah, the feature, that's the special bonus feature. You got the director's edition.
Yeah, the hardlock edition. Yeah. It was one of the pre-order SKUs. Yeah. Only if you got it from Best Buy.
One of the seven. Oh... And you had to spend an extra $15. Every once in a while it'll freeze, and that's because we put too much content in it. Alright, I think we're out of here, but this is episode 66, and just know that in 12 more years, we'll be at episode 666.
And Duke Nukem Forever 2 will be out.
Yeah, or it'll have been announced, and we'll get the fourth trailer for it at that point.
And then maybe Valve will tease Half-Life 3 again.
Yeah. And we'll say things like, it's got to be Half-Life 3.
And the VGAs will be sponsored by the Super Doritos that exist at that point.
Super Doritos exist now. They're called Doritos 3D.
Oh God, those are so good!
How do we mention Doritos every podcast?
We do. We need to get a sponsorship, man. I'm serious. I need to email them and be like, hey guys, we really like the cut of your jib. please.
The thing is, it's like, it's the worst gamer stereotype ever.
Yeah, man. I kind of want to do that for that reason. I want to get Mountain Dew ads. I want to get Doritos ads. I want to get Old Spice ads. I want to get, God, what else? Monster Energy Drink ads. I want to get... We should get Fleshlight ads.
Oh.
Well, I'm always kind of wondering about the Fleshlights. Like, why is it wrong for a bloke to have a sex toy and not for a woman to have a sex toy?
That's a good point, man. That's a good point. And even though it looks like a Pringles can with rubber ass in it.
You can't be mentioning the competition of our sponsors here.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we love the Fleshlight. Highly recommended. Go to Fleshlight.
Fleshlights and Doritos 3D are a good night.
Go to Fleshlight.com/NitroBeard and get 10% off.
This is one of those shark jump moments for our podcast.
Oh, man. Can you imagine if we got one of those sponsorships? Because I am, honest to God, I'm trying for an Audible sponsorship to where you can, like, go to Audible.com/NitroBeard because I think that'd be funny to have to go to that website and you can save 10% on your $40 digital book. Well, there goes our sponsorship shot. Yeah, I've literally backed up that sponsor before I got it. It's like, good job.
This is why we can't have sponsors. Because we're just going to make fun of them the entire time.
Right. I'll just open up. If we have Mountain Dew, I'll just drink 5 of them a podcast. You'll just hear me go...
We're getting $50,000 a month being sponsored by these guys. Pff, what a load of dicks.
Oh, man, it tastes like urine. That is really weird, though. That's how some of those old game magazines worked.
Do you know they're only allowed to sell Mountain Dew as an energy drink over here?
Really?
It contains so much sugar, it has to be an energy drink. Like,
that's why I could never find it.
Yeah, and it's called stuff like Cool Frenzy.
Wait, I got... Okay, I am fitting the stereotype right now because I have an old energy drink and I'm looking... Okay, sugar, 27 grams of sugar for the Monster energy drink. Mountain Dew is 46 grams?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it has stupid amounts of sugar in there.
Good Lord. Like, I'll just put it this way. If this was something like protein, I would be 750 pounds of muscle. You know what I mean?
I do like how we've been talking about Doritos and you also have Mountain Dew to hand. It's kind of like every gaming stereotype in the world. Right,
I got those bad, like Chester's hot fries. I got the Doritos. I got like sugar cookies.
BGAs have ruined us, but we've been talking about Doritos for weeks now.
Yeah, it does come up every podcast. It started with the Doritos dust. We talked about that.
Yeah, we must use a different kind of cheese powder because we don't really get Doritos dust.
All right. Yeah, I re-listened to our episode with editing, and you said that they kept their structural integrity, and I just lost it at the fact that there's an engineer. Like, yes, we must make them better.
Yeah, well, they are. You don't want a bag of crisps you can throw and they're all broken.
Have you guys got those really... They're not Doritos, but they're like the value brand of what... Okay, here's Triangle Chips.
Oh, yeah, we get tortillas. They're called tortilla chips, like Sainsbury's own brand tortilla chips, cheese flavored.
But for us, at least around here, I know I mentioned HEB last week, but HEB has their own brand of them, and they're shaped like Doritos, and they have the same dust on them, but they're like 4 times more thick. It's like they're baked croissant versions
like a cake.
Yeah. Like you can barely bite into them. It's like you put them on the edge of your mouth and you have to like slam it down and like crack. Like, it's crazy. And the dust doesn't taste quite right.
Do you guys have like posh chips over there?
What do you mean?
Like Kettle's chips.
Oh, yeah. Like super.
We have like a range of chips that are kind of above the Kettle chips. And like they've got like... They'll have like a photograph of some like farmer ploughing the fields and shit. And honestly, God, on the back, it'll have credits for the photography. Like photos taken by this person, by this. How fucking proud would you be as a professional photographer that you're on the back of a pack of crisps?
You know, I used to wonder that. And like, okay, you take your picture and then it's there on the chip bag. And you have to walk in the store and you see your family every day. And you see your picture. But then I realized they make so much fucking money. Yeah. So much money. Because you're selling the rights to use that per bag of chips. So either you're doing it that way, or you're working for the company, and they're paying you because they're continually using – kind of like a consignment. Like they're continually using your art assets, so you're getting paid. But, like, yeah, taking – if I worked at Applebee's and, like, I was the guy that took pictures of food for Applebee's, I'd be making mad bank, man, of, like,
just
crappy –
that job description just made me laugh, and I feel bad about it.
There's actual people that do it. Yeah, man. Like, they pour the syrup on a fake cheesecake.
Yeah, I'm the photographer for Denny's Food.
Oh, that's a – how do you do that puzzle? Like,
how do we make this look nice? Yeah, let's just buy some different shit from a different restaurant.
Let's make.
Get me plenty of Vaseline. We need to smear this lens.
It is really shiny. It's super shiny.
I'll tell you what blew my mind the first time I heard it. Like, you know the ice cream adverts?
Mm-hmm.
When they're kind of getting this kind of like amazing smooth roll of ice cream? 100% mashed potato in that advert.
Oh, that's an insider tip.
Yeah. That's just potatoes, man.
It's unbelievable. And then they drizzle the syrup on the potatoes?
Yeah. It looks exactly like the ice cream, but it's just potato based.
Seem more fat ass. You know what I mean? It's like, and not only will you enjoy ice cream, enjoy your potatoes with honey on it. And you're like, oh, your heart just skips a beat. It just stops beating entirely. It's just, oh, I will say, I don't know if it just, we'll end on this note. I don't know if it's just me being in Texas for too long, and since we're very close to the Mexican border, but I've eaten so many fried eggs lately. So many of them. And I feel like a lesser person.
Fried eggs kind of the Mexican thing?
Yeah, they put fried eggs on a lot. They'll put it on top of your steaks and burgers and...
Oh, some fried eggs with salsa is great.
Yeah, man. But yeah, I will say, have a fried egg burger. If you're out there listening and you're wanting to make a burger for yourself, you got some nice ground beef, just get an egg, just fry that bitch. Just put it in there, just get it kind of sunny side up and just wait, make it cook a little bit longer, then just flip it, and then just let it kind of soak in all that stuff and put it on top of your burger. And you'll be in some sort of heaven.
Well, it's like, I always like a fried egg on top of a Costco steak. And it's got to be a Costco steak because they use kind of the American cuts, which is basically are the same cuts as everywhere else, but twice as big.
Yeah. Are they really?
So you get this.
Or are they?
These are the thickest steaks you could get around here. Like, supermarket steaks are maybe, if you're lucky, like half an inch thick.
Yeah.
The Costco ones are like, you could use these as shoes, man. You could use these to sole your feet.
Oh, that's fantastic. Use it as a sponge for your kitchen.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, just amazing.
Is it like ribeye cuts or sirloins or is it just
any cut. They're just
wow.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, now I want to go to the store and get just a giant fucking steak and put an egg on it and just look at it. You know what I mean?
Take a photo of it.
Yeah. Put it on Nigel Beard. Have that be the show notes, along with our Sonic the Hedgehogs running around it. Oh, that is episode 66 of the Beercast. Thank you so much, David, for being on. I know it was a weird tranny episode to wear. Every time I say that, by the way, I almost slip and say tranny, and that's a much different podcast. But, and thank
you. It's still called Nitro Beard, though.
Yeah, it's still called Nitro Beard, but it's about transsexuals, you know, because they're people, too. Imran Khan, thank you so much. And big shout out. I know Mark Bradshaw is kind of on family vacation this week, so best wishes to him and his loved ones. And I'm Wes Gardner. We'll be back next week, and one of these weeks we're going to start doing our Game of the Year stuff, posting it up, teasing more of it. It's going to be nice. But thanks, guys. We'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Bye.